Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you remember, 2 weeks ago we spoke about the book of Revelation. We had part 15. Today we want to continue with part 16. There are those who say that God is always loving. They don't like the idea that God is also a judging God. They don't believe in the wrath of God. They don't believe that God will punish. That means you can do and leave whatever you want because God is always loving and He will always forgive. When you look in history, you can see that God has judged many times. First, we see that when Adam and Eve sinned, they were thrown out of the garden as a punishment. Then came the flood. In the flood, only 8 people survived because God was angry with the world of that time. And again, later, He judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and we see the wrath of God is there. From chapter 14 on in Revelation, we see how the judgment, the wrath of God, is coming upon the earth. We have to remember that this time is a time of tribulation. That is after the church has been taken away. The earlier plagues and wars had been announced by angels. They were warning of what is yet to come. But now, this time is over. The wrath of God is poured upon the earth. I'm talking now in the time of tribulation. In our study, part 15, we started with chapter 14 and we had verse 1 to 13. We saw the 144,000 who had the name of the Lamb and of the Father written on their forehead. We saw the 3 angels who came with different messages. The first angel came to preach the gospel. The second angel came to announce that Babylon had fallen. And the third angel came with a warning that anyone who is worshipping the beast and is taking his mark shall be doomed. If the worship of the beast, if they worship the beast and take his sign, they would experience the fury of God. The picture says they will drink the wine of God's fury. They will be tormented day and night, continuously. With verse 14 starts a harvest of the earth. A new vision was given to John. It says in the Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud one sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Jesus called himself Son of Man. A golden crown can only be worn by a king because it shows royalty. And Jesus is that King of Kings and that Lord of Lords. He is the one who comes for judgment. This is the judgment on the people of the earth who worshipped the beast. This is not the judgment of the great white throne judgment what we read in Revelation 20. This is the judgment of the living people when Jesus comes back. So the sickle in his hand is a sign that he comes to harvest. He is still waiting for people to come to him. But he is coming to harvest so that those believers will be with him forever. When we read about Revelation 14, verse 15 and 16, then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Amen.
Amen.
Another angel came from the temple. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Another angel came from the temple, which means he came from God's throne directly, with the order to start the harvest, the separation of believers and unbelievers. He is to reap those who belong to him. The remaining believers have suffered enough at the hands of the Antichrist. Jesus thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth is reaped. The believers are harvested. They are taken out of the world from all the ungodliness and evil that they had to see and experience. They are harvested to be with Jesus Christ. Never again will they be mistreated. Never again will they be cold or hot or suffer or have tears. They are the ones who stand for Christ against the Antichrist and his godless society. All believers are going to be harvested and taken home to heaven forever. Believers are taken away before the great wrath of God is poured upon the earth. In the Revelation chapter 14, verses 17 to 20, another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel, who had charge of the fire, came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because the grapes are ripe. The angel swung the sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle for a distance of 1,600 stadia. That is about 300 kilometers. Now, the harvest of the evil and wicked is starting. Praise God. Not a single person will escape. He is going to judge them with wrath. Evil is taking the upper hand everywhere because their Lord is Satan. Horror and lawlessness, murder, idolatry, materialism, worldliness are taking over. The angel came to harvest to cut off the ungodly. He comes from the temple of God. He comes from where the presence of God is, and he has a special mission. He holds the sharp sickle in his hand. There is terror at the harvest of the ungodly. Verses 17 to 20 symbolize the wrath of God as the grape, it's called a grape harvest, with the treading of the grape clusters in an immense wine press. We see on this picture a wine press, how they used to do it. Again, the sickle is describes judgment. The clusters of the vine of the earth represents the unbelievers of the earth, those who have followed and worshipped the beast. Her grapes are fully ripe. It's time for judgment. The time for God's judgment of the earth is now at this time. The great winepress is the wrath of God, pictures in violence and intensity of God's coming judgment upon the earth. Those of you who are making notes, you can write down Isaiah 63, verse 2 to 6. Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 15. And Joy, chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. It talks about the winepress of God. The trampling of the grapes was deliberate to get the juice out of the grapes and not to save the grapes. There was no love, no compassion, no feeling for the grapes. This will be the wrath of God. God's wrath will be deliberate and purposeful. It will be to execute perfect justice upon the ungodly and evil of the world. All the ungodly of this world will be cast into the winepress of God's wrath and trampled down, and trampled underfoot without any compassion or mercy. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. The Bible is clear that God is a loving God, but there is an end when the judgment will come. The blood of human blood, the blood is human blood, resulting from the last battle of Armageddon. The amount of blood that results from the winepress emphasizes the severity of that judgment. 1,600 furlongs, or stadio, as it's called in different translations, there are 300 kilometers, which is the full length of Palestine. And the height of the horse's bridle is about 1.5 meters, about like this. The whole land will be covered with blood. The winepress may be an anticipation of the vile or bold judgments of which we are talking in chapter 16. There will be horrendous slaughter and bloodshed. Outside the city, it says in this verse, outside the city, God will determine that the bloodshed and the slaughter will occur outside of Jerusalem, as if God wants to protect the city from the destruction that is going on all around it. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, it makes clear that Jerusalem will be attacked, but will not be destroyed in the end, because it is spared for the glory that is going to come when Jesus starts his kingdom in the millennial reign. And the believing remnant will be saved as the Lord defends them at the city against whom the nations roar and fight. They will escape through a newly made valley that comes to be through an earthquake, and they are created, it's a newly created valley, and the Lord saves his people through this valley as he finishes his judgment and sets up his kingdom. Revelation chapter 15 is a short chapter, bringing two sections of John's visions, bridging the two sections of the vision. Chapter 15 has only 8 verses. Verse 1. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, 7 angels with the 7 last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. Revelation presents God's final judgment on the three groups of 7. The first set of 7 judgments were when the seals, 7 seals were opened in Revelation chapter 5. We have studied all that. The second set was represented by the 7 trumpets, the trumpet judgments, which we have studied in Revelation 8 and 9. The last pattern will involve bowls, or also called vials, depending on the translation you read, and they are symbolically filled with the wrath of God. This segment indicates that the sanctuary is in heaven. It was filled with the smoke during this time, preventing from anyone to approach God as long as the judgments are not completed. Remember, we already saw the end in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. Then John took us again to the same material in greater detail. This reminds us that Revelation is not strictly chronological in its arrangement. So sometimes it's going forward, sometimes it's going backward, sometimes it's repeating. These 7 last plagues are God's judgment on the disobedient and contrary world. In them the wrath of God is complete. Here, the hot wrath of God will fulfill its eternal purpose. Then Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass, mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast, and his image, and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God. The sea of glass is designed to reflect the glory of God. The sea of glass is mingled with fire, and this may be a reminder of the fire of judgment of a righteous God. It speaks of the holiness of God. Here, the sea mingled with fire speaks of divine judgment proceeding from God's holiness. Many of the images in this chapter are connected to the book of Exodus, because also in this chapter we see the plagues. We know in Exodus, where before the Israelites came out of Egypt, there were 10 plagues. And here we have plagues. We have Moses, we have the tabernacle, and we have the cloud of God's glory. This chapter shows the ultimate exodus, the freedom of God's people from a sinful and persecuting world. Those who have victory over the beast are those who were victorious over the beast through the faithfulness unto death. They are the tribulation martyrs that were described in Revelation chapter 7. They are not those who survive the tribulation. Still, we are in a tribulation time. We have to understand, we are still in the tribulation time. And the bowl of judgment are still to come. Therefore, even though the Antichrist kills these Christians, they have victory over the beast. They are not losers. In the early church, they constantly describe the day of martyrdom as a day of victory. We always have victory in Jesus Christ, even if our bodies be killed. The sea of glass is a physical representation of the word of God in heaven, remembering the washing of water by the word, as Paul described in Ephesians 5:26. These saints are standing on the word of God, having harps of God. The only people who had the harps of God that we have seen in heaven were the 24 elders. But now they who overcame also got the harps. These tribulation martyrs are given the blessing of worshipping God in heaven with music. Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteousness, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Amen. Amen. Here is a perfect union between the law and love, between the old covenant and the new covenant. This song, which is deeply rooted in the Old Testament, gives praise to God's works, gives praise to God's ways, it gives praise to God's worthiness, and it gives praise to God's worship. This song is only focused on God. They didn't focus on their own costly and glorious victory, how they overcame. These martyrs are focused only on God. They are the heart of worship, understanding it's all about God and not about ourselves. Ourselves are unimportant. All that counts is God. Revelation chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. After this, I looked, and in heaven, the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels, with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. The temple of the tabernacle, or the is the heavenly temple in heaven. And Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, and Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9, remind us that the tabernacle of God that God told Moses to build was the pattern of the heavenly tabernacle. So the temple of tabernacle, well, what he talks about here in Revelation, is the real tabernacle in heaven, and not a copy that is here on earth. Out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues. And these angels bring God's judgment. It is significant that they came directly from the heavenly temple, from the presence of God, from the throne of God. And so they are acting not on their own authority, but on the authority of God. They wore pure linen, their chests girded with golden bands. Their clothing is a reminder that God's judgments are always completely pure and righteous. Verse 7 and 8. Revelation 15, 7 and 8. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls, filled with the wrath of the God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. No one could enter the temple until the seven plagues had been fulfilled. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You remember the four living creatures in Revelation chapter 4. We are still in a heavenly area with the four creatures and 24 elders and the multitude of angels who stand before the throne of God. The seven angels prepare to administer the last seven tribulation judgments of Christ, the seven vial judgments or bowl judgments. Vials are actually shallow bowls, and that is why they are called bowl judgments, and they are used for pouring drink offerings. You can read that in Revelation 5, 6, or 1 Chronicles 28, 17, Jeremiah 52, 6, 18, Zechariah 9, 15, or Zechariah 14, 20. The bowls are full of the wrath of God. God has a right to judge because he is the eternal eternal incense that filled the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Until the seven plagues are fulfilled, no one can enter the temple. The time of intercession is past. God's judgment will now be completed. And Hebrews speak of the dreadful judgment. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29 to 31. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Judgment was now irreversible. Nothing could hinder it any longer, because access to the temple in heaven would not be permitted for the time until all the judgments are fulfilled. Revelation 15 is an introduction to chapter 16, when the seven bowl judgments are poured upon the earth. They are poured on earth during the tribulation time and lead up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment will be on the living people before the final return of Jesus for his millennial reign. He will come to judge the nations and assume rulership over the whole world for 1,000 years. It is awful to fall in the hands of God, to fall in the judgment of God. Thank God, there is still time to turn to God, receive him as Lord and as Savior. This is why the command of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel is so urgent. It's really, really urgent. The command wasn't given to full-time pastors. The command was given to each one of you. If you call yourself a believer, the command is to you. And you have to obey that command. You have to preach the gospel and lead people into his kingdom. You have to preach the gospel. There are many possibilities that you can use to do that. We have telephones. We have WhatsApp. We have Facebook and many other social media. You can reach people that you would not reach any other way. Preach the gospel online. Make disciples online. Become creative in your ministry. But you have to do it, because it says, if you love God, you fulfill his commands. And his command was to preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. Amen.